You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of a Place of Refuge church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
As we're celebrating Father's Day, as you turn to Psalm 22, you will notice on Mother's Day, it was a lot about diamonds, chocolate, and flowers. Father's Day was a lot about drills, grills, and shovels. I tell you, Father, you want a good drill or some work to wait to Father's Day, because that's what they're going to be pushing, like the men don't work enough. Y'all ever get that? Amen. That's just something to get you to smiling before this word comes. That's all. Psalm 22, verse number 4. The scripture said, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Read now the New King James Version, Psalm 22 and 4. Our fathers, this is David talking, trusted in you. Past tense, they trusted and you delivered them. You came through for them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. I want y'all to help me read those two verses this morning. Are y'all ready? We read in Psalm 22, verse 4 and verse 5. Let's read. Our fathers trusted. Come on, I believe we can read a little bit louder. We can read with some more power. Y'all ready? Psalm 22 and 4. Our fathers trusted in you. Now we know according to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, that as David, the psalmist, looked back at his fathers, one thing that he is speaking about is how the fathers trusted in the Lord. And of course we know, again, according to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that when it is true trust or absolute trust, God will deliver. We know that absolute trust is only reserved for God. You don't trust nobody the way you trust God. You don't trust your pastor the way you trust God. You don't trust your spouse the way that you trust God. I ain't getting many amen. You don't trust your job the way that you trust God. You don't trust money the way that you trust God. And so when David looks back, I want you to understand that he's talking about absolute trust, which is, again, only reserved for God. And again, Proverbs 3, 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so the type of trust that the fathers exhibited here in reference to what David was talking about was, again, trusting God with all of their heart. And they were guided by God. How do you know they were guided by God, Pastor? Because they experienced God's deliverance. Anytime you are guided by God, then you will always experience God's deliverance. God will never guide you to the point to where he fails you. Oh, come on. I say he will never guide you to the point to where he fails you. But he will always come through for you if you will trust in him. And so what we're looking at this morning is a portrait of fathers who were divinely guided. And so this morning's subject is divinely guided fathers. Divinely guided fathers. I wish you would tell someone the subject this morning. Tell them the subject this morning. divinely guided fathers. Amen. Let's give God a praise for the subject this morning. Divinely guided fathers. Number one, we understand that a father is a male parent. A father is a male parent. Now, I'm going to say in reference to fathers the same thing I said in reference to mothers, in that there are men who are not biological fathers, but as godly men, as real men, they stand in the gap and help children to develop and to be protected. There are many uncles who serve in the lives of family members as being a fatherly pattern. Again, and we need it in the day and time in which we live, because there are a lot of children who grow up without fathers. I'm not saying that there's no man physically in the picture, but he is not a representative of what a father really should be. How many know that's right? And how many of us know through the years as men, you might have been like me, that there were just different men that you were able to glean from. There were just a number of men that God has caused to come into my life that I was able to glean something from them that maybe I wasn't able to get in other places, and they was able to help me as a man. And so thank God for good men. Thank God for men who do not run away from responsibility, but thank God for men who understand responsibility. Thank God for men who understand accountability, because you can't be a good man if you don't understand responsibility and accountability. See, the problem with a lot of men is that they run from responsibility. They don't want to be accountable. And as long as a man is unwilling to be accountable, he will always be a boy no matter his age. Oh, I should have got some amens right there, because there are some of us, we know some boys. We know some boys who have men bodies, but because they run from responsibility, because they refuse to be accountable, listen to me, to anybody, they miss in their life what they need to be real men. Oh, come on, somebody. I said they're missing something valuable because they don't want to be responsible and accountable. And I found out in my life, at the times where I was refusing to be responsible, the times I was refusing to be accountable, I was stunting my own growth. I was limiting my own growth. Can I just preach on myself? The times that I look back and I thought I knew everything, I thought I had all the answers, it caused me not to listen to men whom God placed in my life to give me clear direction, to give me clear vision. But I had to grow up. I said I had to grow up. I'm just talking about myself. I just simply had to grow up and recognize again that a real man does not run from responsibility. A real man does not run from accountability. If something is slacking on my end, I'm a man. I can take it. Let me know. I'll step up to the plate and tell you that I missed it. I'll step up to the plate and I won't try to blame anybody, because I've learned that that's trying to skip out on responsibility. That's trying to skip out on accountability. If I am the head, if I am the true head, then I am able to be questioned. My decision making has to be put on the table sometimes, oh God, so that I can be accountable for what I said we need to do. Come on. Secondly, a father, when I talk to you this morning, I want you to understand biblically, when you look at who King David was speaking about, he was not necessarily speaking of his biological father, Jesse, more so than when he was talking about fathers, he was speaking about mature men. And so this is what I want us to recognize, that one thing a father is that a father is a mature man. A father is a mature man. Now, whenever you have a mature man, you have a man that's ready and capable of leading. I want to say it again. Whenever you have a mature man, then you have a man that is capable and ready to lead others. Because how many know until we mature, we're not fit to lead? Oh, come on here, somebody. I want to give you one thing that a male parent, a leader, or a mature man is responsible for. He is responsible for developing others. Now, when you look at it from a natural standpoint, the job of a father is to make sure that his children develop, make sure that they grow, make sure that they get strong, make sure that they mature. Think about our Heavenly Father. In order to make sure that we grow, that we mature, our Heavenly Father corrects those whom he loves. And so often, in order for people to mature, they have to be corrected. Oh, yeah, there's no maturing without correction. And some of us hate correction. We disdain correction. We look down upon correction. But we don't ever need to look down on correction, because if it's godly correction, then it's helping you develop. And again, one job of a father, of a leader, of a mature man is to help others develop. That's the reason a lot of times fathers will recognize their importance in the family when it comes to discipline, when it comes to correcting. Why? Because a mature man wants to help develop children, and he wants to help develop others. But you see, in some men, because they are not mature and because they are immature, not only can they not develop or help their children develop, but they cannot help other men develop. I really need to preach this for just a few moments. I need to just teach this real quick, because that's one of the problems we have here at A Place of Refuge Noon. Now, I don't know about down the road or up the road or under the bridge or over the bridge, but I know what goes on in this house. And when it comes to this house, one of our problems with men is that we have men who are immature. We have men who are not capable of helping other men develop. When I think about helping somebody develop, I think about the scripture that says iron sharpeneth iron. And so when you become a mature man, you should be able to help sharpen another man. You should be able to help another man develop or grow into being all that God has ordained for him to be. So, Pastor, what is the problem here at Refuge amongst some men? Again, they are childish or immature. Can I break it down? Anytime you see men standing around all the time joking and clowning on each other, those are immature men. Anytime you see a group of brothers and every time they get together, they got to pick at each other to try to have some so-called fun, those are immature men. Oh, anytime only thing you want to do is joke again and clown on your brother to the point to where you're trying to provoke him to anger, that doesn't help anybody develop. You got to get to the point as a man where I don't have time to sit around with a bunch of men acting childish, needing to pick on each other, needing to bully somebody else on church ground just so I'll feel important or more like a man. Oh, see, some of my brothers ain't clapping because they're immature. They always sitting around playing. But as a mature man, you have to recognize that there's a time to play and there's a time to be serious. Oh, I know I'm right about it. Because you got brothers in here that's always clowning and being childish. When men get together, it should be an atmosphere where brothers, we want to help each other grow. In other words, if you got a problem and I recognize it and God lead me, I'm going to you privately to discuss what I see. I'm not going to wait till other brothers get around and try to talk about my brother or put my brother down. Oh, even the Bible said that we have to be careful when it comes to joke or gesturing, because sometimes it leads to trouble. It leads to division. Oh, come on. Some of my brothers they're quiet because they're childish. Because they're childish. And they haven't learned how to help others develop. Now, come on, y'all know me. I love to laugh. I love to have a good time. Because the only thing we doing is picking on each other. The only thing we doing is putting each other down. And we have to call that fun. Something's wrong with the kind of fun we like having. Oh. I said something wrong with that. And so it needs to be cut out. And we need men to mature. Brother, that's all you got to talk about? All you want to do is joke, which really leads to lying. Come on, there's a time to be serious. Too many brothers are coming up short for us not to be helping one another develop. When you care about somebody, you ain't up to picking at them. If I see you coming short, my job is to help you. Come on, that's my job. My job is to help people develop across the board. That's my job as a pastor. That's what God want me to help saints develop. So that each and every one of you can be everything God ordained for you to be. Watch this in the church as well as in your home. Am I right about it? So understand this morning that decision making is based upon who or what is guiding you. A person's decision making is primarily going to be based upon who or what is guiding you. And when it comes to decision making, I really need y'all to listen, pay attention. Because the sum of your life, of where you are and how you're doing in life, will basically boil down to your decision making. Come on. No matter how well you are taught, if you don't make good choices, listen, you will not be able to tell that you are taught that well. Come on, we see it in the church. And so our decision making is important, especially as leaders or mature men. Because again, we're trying to help others develop. And so you often hear people use the terminology decision-making skills. And I'm about to make a bold statement, then I'll back it up. As important as it is to have decision-making skills, in and of itself, the three words can be overrated. Because you do have those who feel like either you're born with it or you're not. Come on, this is some people's mindset behind having decision-making skills. That either you got it, you didn't get it. For some people, it's the color of your skin. It's racial. If you are not a certain color, then you don't have it. You don't have the ability to make good decision. You're not skillful. Oh Lord, I'm teaching this thing. Come on, the Lord helping us. And so with many, the words come into play based upon how a person was raised. And so if you didn't get it in your rearing, then as you mature in life, then no way you're going to be able to have skills when it comes to decision making. Now, why do I say it's overrated? Because this is important. Why do I say when you look at decision-making skills from a worldly standpoint, why does your pastor think it's overrated? I think it's overrated because God can make anyone look good who's willing to listen to him and obey him. I said, it don't matter how you were raised. If you'll listen to God, he'll make you look good. Come on, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. If you listen to God, he'll make you look good. See, I'm preaching to somebody this morning because God has been making you look good. He's been making you, but it ain't been all you. That's been God showing you. Do this right here. take care of that like this. Handle that problem like this. Say this right here and don't say this right here. Come on. It's been God. Oh, God. When I look at my life, it's been God making me look good. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all can't get with that. He'll make you look smarter than what you really are. Did you go to college? No. This is God's doing. Did you take a class, my brother? No. Listening to God and obeying him. Woo, I know it's Father's Day, but he'll make a single mama look good. He'll help a single mama hold it down. As long as she listens to God, she'll be okay. Whoa. Am I right about it? God has the ability to make you look good even when you don't have a dime in your pocket. If he wants you to have something, he'll give you wisdom how to get what it is he wants you to have. But you gotta listen. And see, why am I teaching this? Because some folk will write themselves off based upon their past. Well, I don't have good decision making skills. Don't say that. Because if you listen to God, come on, you're gonna be a wise person. Am I right about that? Any testimonies in here of God showing you how to do things? Many of us, when it comes to getting things done, the first thing we do is ask God. Come on, some of you can't say amen. First thing you do is Google it. First thing you do is look it up on the internet. First thing you want to do is go grab a book of what a man done said who wasn't led by God. That's what you do. But when you learn to say to God, you know everything. I said, when you say to God, you know. How much does God know? How much does he know? What's hid from God? Why not go to him? God has helped people get through school. God has helped people graduate. God has helped people, businesses, to be productive. You don't run your business like everybody else. You listen to God, and he tells you what to do. So that's the reason I say it can be overrated. Not knocking education. But a person doesn't need a college degree to be successful. Come on, not knocking education. It's good. Let's get it. Let's get it. If that's what God wants, let's get it. Let's get it. Dude, y'all look at me and say, let's get it. Let's get it. Let's get it. Remember what we teach? We want everything God got for us. If he got a degree for you, you get it. But don't look at me if I don't get the degree, yet I'm still prospering. Don't look down on me because I don't have the degree. Because if you'll spend time in prayer, he'll show you whether you need the degree or not. Everything in my life that's successful, I credit it to God helping me make decisions. Now listen, before I move on, some of you need to understand that about me. I don't move till God say, move. I don't do things till God say, do it. Come on. Because I'm led by who? God. If I acknowledge him and he say, stand down, then guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand down. And I'm going to let him lead me. Show me what to do. Here comes the meat of the text. There are five things that your decisions should never be solely based upon. I want to real quickly deal with five things that your decision making should never be solely based upon. The word solely having to do with not involving anything else or entirely. We have to be careful. Again, you are where you are. You are who you are. Primarily because of your decision making. I'm about to move to these things, but understand, some of us blame others, but you made that decision. Anybody here like me, you talk to yourself when you make a bad one? If I make a bad enough decision, you'll hear me in the next room talking to myself. Recognizing you did that. And I just simply be doing something. I said, but man, you can't do that. What you think? That ain't gonna work. Come on. That's my decision making. And over the years, I've learned not to ignore the decisions that I make. Wrong or right, I really need to learn from this. This wasn't a good decision. Why? Do you ever ask yourself that? Why? Some of you didn't say that. Because you make one bad decision after another, you never say why. Why did you do that? What possessed you to say that? What made you think that was right to do? And then my favorite one, why did you react like that? I love when folks say, they made me mad. Nobody can make you mad. It's a choice to get mad. Folks will mistreat you, lie on you, and talk about you. But now what you gonna do? What's gonna be your decision making? I gotta choose to get mad. I gotta choose to act out of character. I gotta choose to do something stupid. And we need this across the board. Ain't a person in here don't need this teaching this morning. None of us have arrived to the point to where every decision we make, we can make it and we ain't got to acknowledge God and it's going to be the right decision. The devil is a lie. If I don't let God lead me, I'll mess up in a minute. I'll be doing something and won't realize until I'm halfway in it that I had no business doing this. Y'all ready? Are you ready? We're going to deal with five things. Your decisions should never, now understand, never be solely based upon these things. Now remember, the teaching is geared toward fathers, mature men, and leaders. But it's going to touch everybody. But I certainly want it to impact these group of folk. Number one is that you have to be careful when your decisions are based upon anger. Being quick-tempered. There are a lot of men that the reason they don't make good decisions is because they do things when they're angry. They say things when they're angry. Now, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, teaches us to be angry but sin not. See, we can be angry and we don't have to sin or do wrong. But Solomon says in Ecclesiastes that anger rests in the bosom of fools. See, when you stay angry too long, you're liable to make a foolish choice. Because you were led by anger and not by God. And some of us, we make decisions to do things because we are angry or upset. Am I in the house? How many have ever said something and when you said it, you knew you said it because you was angry. And the moment it rolled off your tongue, you was wishing already that you could take it back. Some of you know better than cursing. So if you do it, it's going to have to be because you got anger. Because I know it wrong, but I had to cuss him. I had to cuss him out. You had to cuss him out. What other choice did I have? Shut your mouth. That was a choice. One thing I had to learn as a man, as a father, and I struggled with it, is being in control even while angry. Talking under control, but I'm ticked. I'm not doing anything out of control. Come on. If I slam a door, I needed to slam it. Some of y'all are like, how? How so? Jesus went in the temple and overturned the tables of money. Took a whip and ran them out the temple. He was angry, yet being God, the scripture is clear, he never sinned. He was angry, but under control. Man, you can tell your wife what she needs to hear, and you can do so under control. Some of my best days came when I learned that I didn't have to overtalk Donna, and I didn't have to speak louder. I just needed to speak clearly. Because she was bad at you, I ain't your child. I said, well, I'm yelling, I'm acting like you, you right. But then I just learned to just say to her, look, we don't ever need to do that no more. That ain't the way. I'm done. We don't need to do that no more. Listen, because when you don't know how to do this, people will try to push every button to get a certain response out of you. So she Holy Spirit feel. That one over there work on that machine. You talking about her? She Holy Spirit. Oh, okay. We gonna see. And sometimes people will mess with you. Trying to get a certain response. And you can't give it to them. Ooh, I say you can't give it to him. You got to stay under control. You ever seen a young person just nutting up about nothing? Parent too scared to tell him to sit down somewhere. He got a temple. I got a belt that will calm him. Calm down. I got a belt that was known for taking away tempers. You threw your toy? You won't put it in your hand for a couple of days. See, there are men, grown men. Quick temper. Easy to quit. Make them mad, they'll quit. Make him mad, he'll quit. He'll threaten to leave. Why? He upset. He mad. I ain't got to take it. I'm out of here. You're angry, brother. People have left places angry. And once they got to the place that they thought they needed to be, they recognized it wasn't God that told me to leave. It was my pride of being angry and out of control. Tell your neighbor, even when you're angry, learn to be under control. If we got a fight to show each other we love each other, we out of control. I know you care now, baby, because you hit me. No, sister, he's out of control. Come on. Some parents discipline out of control. My children used to always try to just Oh, you just don't want us to whoop these grandkids. I said, ain't that, because God know I know they need it. I just want you to be under control. Do my grandparents know what I'm talking about? Ain't nothing like hearing your child yelling at your grandchild. You know your child is out of control. And then they tell you this right here. Mama, I call you back. Dad, I call you. I got to. Who did it? I did it. I don't even let members get me out of character. Never cussed out a member. Have put one or two out of my office, but I never cussed nobody out. I have told members to get out of my office. Because I'd rather do that than continue down this road. And this conversation ain't helping neither one of us. Number two, it's making decisions out of frustration. When people solely make a decision and it's based on frustration, they normally don't make the right choice. Why did you do it? I just, Pastor, I'm just so tired of not having a car that I just told them I'll take it. What's your interest rate? Pastor, I don't know. I'm just tired of calling people, having to ask people to take me here and do this and do that. So I just, it is what it is, Pastor. I got the call. That's it. I got the call. See, you were frustrated. You don't know your interest rate. You don't know your terms. Come on. And see, when you make a decision because you frustrated, when you get in a better place, you're going to regret the choice that you made. Can I teach it right? People have gotten married frustrated. He ain't coming. You'll do. Now they don't tell the person that. You'll do. Why? I'm frustrated. When you hear saints start say, I'm just tired. And they get to crying with it. Most of the time, if you look back on them decisions while they were crying and frustrated, not their best choices. Woo! See, Nehemiah's enemies in the book of Ezra tried to frustrate them so that the work that they was doing will cease. If we get them frustrated with their purpose, they'll make bad decisions. They might even stop building. See, when you get too frustrated, you could be doing the right thing. But when frustration comes, you're going to make the decision to stop doing what was right and good to do. You all see, folks, some people just look at me like, but we've made decisions frustrated. You ever heard somebody, they so frustrated, they will literally say things like, I'm so frustrated with this problem, with this person. I can't even think straight. Well, how are you going to make the right choice? Come on. You can't get so frustrated with a person because he or she won't change. You got to let some people go before they get you so frustrated. And there are frustrated people in here. I don't know if it's a person frustrating you, your money problems, your marriage problems, your job problem, your health problem. But when you make decision and it's solely based upon frustration, you're not going to make the right decision. Pastor, I'm setting myself down for ministry. Why? Seem like folk don't want to do right and ain't nobody listening. Oh, you frustrated. You thought everybody was going to listen to you. Come on. It amazes me how many adults get frustrated when people won't follow them or won't do right, but yet they're not following, they're not doing right. Show of hands, anybody ever made a decision because you were frustrated? Some of us, we just like, Pastor, I'm so cool and in the driver's seat there. Never frustrated. You better be careful. Doing nothing can be a sign of frustration. You ain't praying about what you need to do, I'm done with it. But see, God ain't told you to be done with it. You frustrated and you won't take your hands off, but he telling you don't take your hands off. Come on. Number three, making decisions while depressed, sad, or heavy hearted. Why did you do that? Because I was so depressed and sad. And I felt all alone. So it didn't matter. When people get real depressed, even suicidal, they convince themselves that their decision to kill themselves, to walk out, or to do whatever, listen, it will only affect them. But there are people who have to live with the decision that you made. You don't get away. You don't get out of here. Think about how many children suffer and are neglected because their parents consistently make decisions based on depression or sadness. You talk to some people when they made some very terrible decisions, if they be honest with you, they were severely depressed. Severely. And you can be severely depressed, but learn for a few hours around people how to seem happy. You can get good at it. You did that because you wasn't battling depression, but you gave in to it. And listen, at some point, all of us gonna battle depression. Come on. You can have everything going right in your life, and you can wake up like I do sometimes, and that spirit is warring at your mind. You know God been good to you. You know better is here. You know bigger is here. Yet you are consistently throughout the day battling a spirit of depression. Things coming at your mind, listen, to make you sad. Thoughts are coming at your mind from your past, wanting you to dwell on it and not your present. And the problem with a lot of y'all, you succumb to it. You don't battle it. You stop fighting it. You got to fight depression. You got to kick depression out of your bedroom. You got to kick depression up out of your house. I don't care what's going on. You got to be to the point to where you say to yourself, I cannot afford to succumb to this spirit. I can't lay down and play dead. I got to deal with this thing that continues to attack my mind. Come on. And sometimes it's a 10-minute prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of depression and I cast it down and I will be happy. Happy come, but it only lasts 60 seconds. And depression, right? See y'all thought I was finna say, you got away. I battle depression all day fighting with scriptures. It is written. Had to preach the demon. God had brought me from a mighty, 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 mighty long way. I'm not where I want to be, but I ain't where I used to be. Get out of here, depression. When you depressed, listen, depression loves company. I know when some of my relatives are severely depressed, nobody will hear from them. And then when they do try to pop up, they try to pop up like everything wonderful. You've been back bowing. And see, if you've ever watched lions, like I love the National Geographic channels. I love the lions and the hyenas fight. And the impalas, the buffaloes. I like to watch them hunt. She'll come in the room and say, what are you watching? I'm watching the hunt. Because if you'll notice, a lion, even though he's strong, his best method is normally to divide and conquer. Pick out the weak one. See, the enemy here this morning trying to sense who weak. Who ain't been praying? He preaching a good word, but it's somebody that ain't been praying. It's somebody that ain't been fighting me the way they need to fight me. And so throughout this message, and so often the lions will get the weak one. They will divide and conquer. That's the reason when you are battling depression, sometimes you need to be amongst stronger people. Listen, it don't even have to be physical, just a conversation with an experienced warrior. Oh, I said warrior. A prayer warrior. Call grandmama. Grandmama pray all the time. Woo! Can I talk to you, grandma? Because I know you've been praying. The problem with a lot of you is not only do you succumb to depression, but you hang with people who are like-minded. Worst thing to do for married folk is to get with somebody married that don't want to be married and depressed about being married. Man, get off and around me with all of that. The woman this, if it wasn't for the woman took it at the woman. Man, hush. That's your woman. That ain't my woman. I'm trying to move on. When you hang with depressed folk, when they leave your presence, you can feel. That's when I got close relatives. I don't want anything to do with them. I know the spirit they carry. And you can be in the midst of people, and when they leave, man, you just feel. Yeah, drained. Down and out. That's when I don't talk to people. COVID. You got COVID. How you doing today? COVID. Seen a commercial today say, oh, we are finally coming out. We can get back to living. When did you stop living? I never stopped living. I'm finna go on. But see, I battled. I was warring at COVID. It's a spirit behind COVID. And saints was getting in my way. I ain't at you, I'm at the spirit. You know how many children got molested during the shut-in? You know how many children were trapped with people they didn't need to be trapped? Do you know the sale of alcohol skyrocketed? They shut everything down, but they didn't shut down dope dealers. They made a killing. Because of depression. One parent was so scared that they wouldn't let their son out the house, period. He couldn't go around anybody. Anybody. For months, probably a year. Couldn't leave the house. He killed himself. And the parents say the worst thing we did was to isolate him from people. See, it was God that said, it's not good for man to be alone. Do you not know you build up your immune system by being around other people? That's when a lot of frontline workers, immune systems are strong because they work around disease. Woo! See, some of you upset now. I'm at the spirit. I'm not at you. There's a spirit behind COVID. Well, I'm just looking at it from a scientific standpoint. You go ahead and do that. But it's a spirit behind it. And that's the warfare of pastors and mature leaders. We fight in a spirit. Finally, number four. One more and then we got to close. You'll never make decisions based upon just being excited. Oh, Lord. Some of y'all just looked at me. What? How many of y'all made the wrong decision because you were just too happy? I will take it. Happy. I don't care how excited you are over a thing or a person. Acknowledge God. Pastor, this got to be it. Acknowledge God. He'll let you know if it's really it. This is the house. Woo! That's it. And then the realtor look at you. I think we got him. Guess what? It's a person tried to close on this last week and it fell through. This must be your house. Oh, you heard them. They playing games. Have you ever made a bad decision because you just got so excited that you just. Come on. You didn't come on, because some people feel like if I'm happy about it, Pastor, I didn't have to pray about that. I was happy. Don't matter. Come on. What make you smile today? Well, have you crying tomorrow? Finally, human wisdom. Don't make decisions based solely upon human wisdom. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians, God said he will take human or worldly wisdom and turn it to foolishness. See, don't ever think you're smarter than God, that you don't have to acknowledge him. That's worldly or human wisdom. Proverbs 14:12 said there's a way that seems right. Come on. To a man. But the end is the way of what? Death, destruction, ruin. That's how it seems right. Come on. Acknowledge God and he'll let you know if it's really right. But never do something because in your human wisdom, it seems right. It can seem right, listen, and be wrong. Anybody, any witnesses? Anybody ever made a decision that seemed right? Did all your research? Everything lined up? It's a go. Later on, you said, I didn't see that happening. Come on. I'm teaching you out of wisdom, out of experience. Finally, in Psalm 22, as we bring it to a close, how do we want to make decisions? What do our decisions need to be based upon? God. Divine guidance. when fathers, when leaders, mature men are divinely guided by God. Notice what David says, and we done. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. The word for ashamed is disappointed. Disappointed. If you trust God wholeheartedly, you will not be disappointed. Tell your neighbor, God's power to deliver guarantees no disappointment. Tell to somebody else, God's power, his ability to deliver guarantees no, shout it. Come on, y'all ain't there yet. Tell your neighbor, God's power, his ability to deliver guarantees no, shout it. No what? No what? No disappointment at the church. No disappointment at the house. No disappointment with my bank account. Because disappoint, deliverance has to do with this saving, protecting, and prospering. Before God let you be disappointed, he'll save you. Before he let you be disappointed, he'll protect you. Before he let you be disappointed, he'll prosper you. He will deliver. That's a guarantee that if we trust him wholeheartedly, we will not be disappointed. I'm done with the message. Come on, let's give him a praise. Come on, come on. Come on, give him a thunderous hand. Divinely guided, fathers. If it be true, tell three people that's near you, I won't be disappointed. I won't be disappointed. Come on, tell somebody else, I won't be disappointed. Hallelujah. I won't be disappointed. Some of you are going through something right now. Trust God. I guarantee he won't disappoint you. He won't let you down. He won't cause you to be confounded or ashamed. But you got to trust him. I want to pray for men. I want to pray for men. I would that every man would just raise his hand. Whether you're in the congregation or watching live. Every man, every man, every man. Raise your hand. I want to pray for men. Hallelujah. We need men to be divinely guided by God. Somebody's counting on you, man. Somebody's counting on you, brother. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you, Lord, will have your way in every brother in this church. For you, God, know what every man is facing. You know all of our shortcomings. You know the things that try to cause us to act out of character. But today, Lord, we just stop and we just ask help of you. Help us as men to be divinely guided by you, Lord. Help us that our decisions will be based upon what you tell us to do. We even pray now and we're asking that you will transform men on today. Cause us to mature in every area where we're seemingly coming up short. Do it, Lord, so that we can be the leaders that you desire for us to be. Do it for us today that not only will we develop, but empower us to help other men develop. Have your way, Lord. I pray it right now for every man that hand is lifted to you, that your will be so done in our lives. Behold, Lord God, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. So we say, so be it to us according to your word. And we are transformed through the word to be stronger men, to be responsible and accountable. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. I would that every sister would give the men a hand of praise today. Come on, let's give these men a hand of praise. This has been Pastor Leonard Cochran here from a place of refuge, Noonan. I want to remind you that Jesus is a refuge. We need to make sure that we are divinely guided by God. And in the close, I'm saying to those of you that was live screaming, watch your decision making. Know and understand when you make decisions, what is it based upon? If it's not being guided by God, don't do it. Be still, brother. Let God do in your life what he want to do. Again, we love you and we appreciate you. And until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for watching today's live stream service with Pastor Leonard Z. Cochran of A Place of Refuge, Noonan. We would love to hear from you. If you have been helped, strengthened, or encouraged by the word, let us know. Also, don't forget to connect with us on all of our major social media platforms to receive exclusive information and updates with all things Refuge Noonan.
A Place of Refuge Noonan is located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. If you would like to visit us, our worship times are every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. on location and live at 10:45 a.m. We also have service every Wednesday at 7:15 p.m. via Facebook and YouTube Live. And remember, Jesus is a refuge.